It's like, hey, I wonder what that dog food over there tastes like. You know what? We should have a dog food bracket, guys. You know what? Like, no. It's totally safe. Like, it's frozen from some plant out in the middle of nowhere, and some drug addict probably threw it together between getting high in the bathroom.
Welcome back to the second episode of our burger series on That Reload Life. If you're listening to this, you are in the frickin' right place because we are about to throw down on some amazing looking burgers. Mine looks really good. Jeremy's is okay. Matt looks good. And Stacey's looks good. But we're about to try. If you listen to the last podcast episode, we were breaking down what is a burger and Jeremy's storying. We're bringing out what is a burger and, you know, what are some of the things you need to know about making burgers prior to doing so.
What goes into a good burger.
Amen. So what we've done is we've basically all of us come together and we've brought our favorite burger recipes. And
we basically had a burger battle.
We did. And not technically, but in all reality, we've never cooked burgers together.
We've never cooked like this where we're each cooking our own competing thing. We've always like cooked together.
Collectively.
Yeah.
Right. But I mean,
So which one are we doing first? I want to eat these things.
I'm sorry. I have to dive into the homemade brioche bun by the White Law himself.
So if you guys have seen pictures of this, we'll put some on social media. Everyone smashed their burger down, and mine is like standing an inch and a half.
Standing tall.
That brioche. So go ahead and explain what your burger is before we take a bite.
You guys go ahead and take a bite. This is a homemade bun, which I think the bread is one of the most important parts. It is a combination of brioche and a Hokkaido roll, which I made those last night. You have a double patty, so they're a 3.5-ounce patty, smashed down inside of a cast iron, which previously had bacon cooked in it, so they're smashed straight into that bacon grease, flipped only one time, and then a slice of sharp Vermont aged cheddar on top of each patty.
Is there any condiments on this?
Absolutely no condiments. This made properly.
This is crunchy.
It screams traditional, like, small-time diner American burger, cheeseburger. Like, it's that's where it's at.
I mean, it's crispy and
like
crunchy.
That mom and
delicious.
Pop side of the road, you know, butter burger style. I mean,
it's surprisingly buttery. Mm-hmm. Considering there's no, I mean, you buttered the bread, right?
Just so it wouldn't stick, but okay. Very little.
The bread is really dense, but it's so soft and delicious.
See, that's what I was kind of telling Jeremy before, because this is just a personal thing, not like this homemade brioche bun is next level to me. Mm-hmm. But I like, you know, a chewy, really like a good chew. And that's the only thing I would say is maybe just like a tad bit denser for me. A lot of people may not give a shit about
soft.
I like.
And like I said earlier, the bread's just a tad sweet. Mm-hmm. And I think that really adds a lot, especially when there's so few ingredients. The sweetness of it really comes through.
When you have all those salty ingredients, the burger cook strained the bacon and the cheddar.
I have to save room, and then I'll go back
but
and
it's
eat them.
Extremely basic, and that's what I love about it.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Next burger.
That's good.
Who's next?
What are you going to do next?
Go after mine, because if y'all don't care, just because I smashed the hell out of my bun and I'm afraid it's going to get...
it's saucy.
It's going to
get
too
soggy. So go ahead and explain what it is.
Pineapple, right?
Yes. So what I made, this is a beef version of my venison volcano burger. It is a, beef patty stuffed with gorgonzola cheese crumbles. It has aged cheddar on top with cooked bacon, grilled pineapple, and a sriracha garlic aioli.
It's delicious. It's tangy. You get the tangy blue cheese.
Yeah.
So gorgonzola, well, I use gorgonzola because we didn't know how much of a blue cheese fan you guys were. And it's basically a mild form of
it's very good.
Blue cheese.
I like... So, I mean... Like we've talked about in the past, I really like combining sweet and spicy together.
Yeah.
And then this has got that super savory element from the cheese, too, and the sweetness from the pineapple, and then the spiciness from the sauce.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if we're casting votes here. I love you, Jeremy, but I think I like this one just a little bit better.
It's good, man.
Mm-hmm.
What did you season yours with?
All I did is after I got the, because I cooked, we need to get into this later. We all used different cooking methods for our burgers.
And different pieces of equipment.
Correct.
We were all hungry, so we said, let's go to the tasting part first.
So, anyways, I made a patty, and I seasoned it with Fully Loaded. That's it. Just Fully Loaded.
I'd like this burger with Jeremy's bun, I think. That's really what I want.
Because this bun, this brioche bun, was not homemade.
Store-bought brioche.
And it's legit, like...
It just fell
flat as a piece of paper.
It deflated.
Because we pushed it down to cut it, and like it's not existent. So like Jeremy's bun definitely would wins the...
This is a very good... the Gorgonzola is very strong. Comes through great, which I love. it's a great cheese. I don't taste the cheddar in it, so kind of double cheese there.
You think that the Gorgonzola like just outshines it?
Yeah.
I kind of agree.
Which that's what I'm saying. That's what, like where I like the simplicity of a burger. Like... You know, you have bacon on here. You have the pineapple on here, which I think the pineapple does add some sweetness to it.
Yeah.
But I don't taste like pineapple. I just taste like some extra sweetness.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not like a pineapple fan, this is still good because you don't really taste pineapple. It's that sweetness. And then what are the sauces you have on here?
It's one sauce. I just took mayo, sriracha, garlic paste. And mix it together.
Okay. Like a sriracha aioli mayo.
Now, are you saying you taste a little bit of heat on there, Matt?
Yeah, I guess from the sriracha and the sauce.
I taste no heat whatsoever.
Really?
Yeah.
You have a numb tongue?
Yeah, I love spicy stuff. Yep. So, like, to me, this is not spicy at all. This is just, like, a very sweet burger.
Yeah, this is, like, I named it Venison Volcano Burger because it rhymes. but in all reality, it's just a light, warm heat.
Which
it's
we did use ground chuck.
Super spicy. Yeah. We use ground chuck.
Yeah.
We all use the same beef, we should say, right?
Yeah. Yes.
It all came from the same beef.
80-20 chuck, the same 50 cows.
Yeah.
but I, excellent burger, of course. You cooked this on the Weber.
Right. Charcoal.
Jealous devil charcoal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which sometimes if you overcook on a, over charcoal, because you're not catching that grease like we are in the, on a flat top or something, you can easily dry a burger out. I'm not getting that at all. Excellent job cooking on the burger.
Thank you, man. But I think what helps that is having the Gorgonzola or blue cheese crumbles in the meat. I think that helps add the moistness to it and actually kind of safeguard you from drying it out, which is why I used it in venison because it was so lean prior to. But even with this... I almost did screw that jazz up. My first flip was like, oh man, that was almost burnt. That was almost bad. So I got a light char on it, but cool. All right. Anything do you all dislike about the burger?
Just what I said, too many toppings.
I think it has just the right amount.
It's delicious.
I think it's good.
All right, so I want to dive in. I want to do, we're going to go, you know, off this, and we're gonna do ladies last. But I want to dive into,
because we are all feminists here, and we treat you like an equal.
That's right.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that, guys. Yeah, you definitely do.
Get in the back.
You guys definitely. Get in the back.
So,
right,
so my next. So
break this down, Matt.
I did a store bought brioche bun with a single patty that's smashed on a flat top grill outside. So the big thing here is actually there's two things. The method for stacking it up, there's mayo on the top and bottom bun, and then there's bib lettuce on the bottom to keep the burger from getting the bottom bun soggy.
This is amazing.
On top of that, there's a little bit of a balsamic onion jam, so it's kind of got some savory and sweet elements, and that's cooked down in a bacon grease. And then there's some crunchy bacon. I was telling the guys when we were cooking, one of my least favorite things about a bacon burger is when you take a bite and the bacon's not crispy enough and you just kind of rake the whole bacon piece off. So I really like my bacon to go low and slow so that it gets crunchy and it just breaks off clean. And then on top of that, there's an old style, like coarsely ground mustard.
Bro, I'm going to dive into this. The thing is screaming to me about this burger is fresh. Like, there's something fresh about it.
Mm-hmm.
You have a lot of savory elements to it, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a fantastic burger.
It's so good.
Like, I don't... Like, it's like I want to almost say you could eat this for, like... a brunch, like a brunch burger or something. Like,
oh, sunny side up egg on it would be incredible.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Onions.
But like that bib lettuce on there, just like the pop and combined with the onions and you made like a jam out of that, right?
Yep.
The onions have like a sweet yet tangy element to it because you use the balsamic vinegar, but then there was some sugar added to it as well as the natural sugars in the onions. And like it is freaking delicious. Like that... I think that topping is definitely a must-have on a burger because that just it really wraps it all together.
That
balsamic jam, that is the shining star of this one here. It's so good. You said there's mustard on here?
There is. It's a coarsely ground mustard.
I can't tell. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not super strong.
Yeah. You got spicy on here? What's spicy on here?
Just the mustard.
Something. I must have.
Did you taste that? Yeah. I don't.
Something.
Now, what did you season your meat with?
Ah, so that's probably where you're getting some heat.
That's so delicious.
Oh, there it is.
It's a Magnum with just a little bit of extra salt added.
That's what it was. I got the, I got a peppercorn, or I got something I crunched into it, and it lit me up pretty
Which
good.
Is interesting because, you know, Magnum is initially our steak and chop blend. It's very coarse, very, large pieces in it, but it really is flavoring that burger awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It is. I think that's why I like it so much, because it's got the meat.
And I seasoned it the way that I talked about in the last episode, where we had balls of meat. I seasoned the balls, put them down and smashed, and then after I flipped, I seasoned the cooked side.
Yeah.
And just let them finish off that way.
Mm.
That way you still gotta, that you don't lose the seasoning in the grease that way.
Yeah. Freaking good.
Very good.
Last but not least, we got...
Or maybe least. You never know.
You never know. You never know. So...
I heard there's an award-winning component to this dish, Stacey.
There is an award-winning component to this dish. So, my burger is, ground chuck, smash burger on the Camp Chef flat top, seasoned with double action. It is topped with our award-winning by Matt Farr, award-winning Pack and Heat Pimento Beer Cheese, as well as freshly sliced jalapenos,
yep,
crispy bacon, and drizzled with Smitty's Scotch Bonnet Beard Sauce. Mm,
so.
It is my down south burger.
Mm. There's a smokiness to this.
Mm, that jalapeno in there. That's awesome. A little bit of fresh bite right in the center going through there. this is a very savory burger. It's really good.
I'm tasting a lot of the beer cheese.
Yeah. I thought that would come ahead, but I'm really tasting the Smitty's in there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think because the Smitty's is just a tad sweet, too, right?
It is.
A little Scotch sweet, bonnet, and yeah. It's a very tangy, thin barbecue sauce. So
that with that fresh jalapeno together, I think that, I don't know, the whole thing. It's very good. It's a good combination.
Very good.
Thank you.
Mm. So we have brought a gauntlet of flavor profiles to burgers today. I feel like we went around the whole carousel of different things, different aspects you can do. You know, Jeremy, I will say that your burger is like the go-to. Do you know what I mean?
It's just a simple, it's a bacon cheeseburger.
But
there's
that's what I mean.
Nothing crazy about it.
But
delicious that's, beef flavor. I just took another bite of it.
But
yeah,
you did a double stack, thin beef patties.
I measured out all of our patties just because I had my hands dirty, and I had the smallest patties of anyone here. But I did a double patty, so
which is like
3 ounces. Yeah,
the crunch though.
Bacon. Yeah,
the crunch.
But if I'm gonna if I'm cooking at home most of the time. For the kids and what, or for a bunch of people, this is the kind of burger I'm really going to run to, because I can make a phenomenal tasting burger that is quick, fairly easy to make. You know what I mean? And full of flavor. You know, when I'm sitting at home, if I had you guys over for dinner, and we're going to say, hey, we're going to have some burgers, and I got 6 to 8 guests, I might go a little more gourmet, like the other burgers. You know what I mean? Excuse me.
I'm not even listening. I'm just eating.
Yeah. Which each one of these burgers, like mine is very simple. It's bacon cheeseburger.
Ah, sorry.
Joel is over there dying right now. You guys each had an underlying theme to your burger. There's something that really shines in the burger, and that's what you pick up in it. That's not what I wanted in my burger. I wanted the meat to shine. I wanted that burger to shine.
And it does.
And that's really where it comes from that one. Whereas, you know, that bacon jam, Matt, is, or the balsamic
onion jam
is incredible. Yep. I would put that on anything, much less a burger. You know, burger, anything, it'd be great on.
Yeah.
I ate it straight from the pan because he was over there cooking and I was standing there and I literally just took my fingers to it and snuck a piece of onion.
So we definitely need to get this stuff out to the masses for sure.
But I will say something that is really cool and unique about it, you know, I did a smash burger. You cooked on a charcoal Weber kettle.
Yep.
And yours was a blended burger. Correct. Joel's was a blended burger. Mm-hmm. So he actually mixed. So a blended burger is the beef with added ingredients into it.
Throughout the meat. Yeah.
Gorgonzola crumbles into his, you know. And then we had the cast iron crispy diner style patties. And then we had the did you smash yours?
I did.
Matt smashed. So Matt had a smash burger as well with the
so flat top. So let's get into that a little bit. Different cooking elements. The style that you three did, you know, Matt and Stacy on the flat top, Jeremy even more so in the cast iron.
I like to use the cast iron because I cooked my bacon in there first, and there is a good layer of bacon grease in there, and then I just smash the balls directly into that bacon grease and cook them up in that. You know, it's only about a minute and a half to 2 minutes per side on high heat. One flip, throw a slice of cheese on, let that cheese cook all the way through to the burger while the other side is cooking, and let it get a little crispier on the edges, stack them up, pull them off, and you're done. You can literally start and have these burgers on the table in like 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's so fast.
So I think, you know, when you're cooking burgers, you have to decide the flavor profile that you want. Mm-hmm. So one of our favorite ways to cook burgers is on the flat top, and I'll get a pat of butter, lay it down, and put the patty right on top of that little pat of butter. And
put a patty, or are you smashing it down onto the butter?
I will smash it. Yeah, I'll smash it onto the butter.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, so put the thing down, and I'll just smash it, and the butter will actually, you know, go all the way around and cook around the edges of it. But you get this nice little crust, I want to say, on the patty from
crunchy.
Yeah, from the butter, you know. But what I wanted to give to you guys today was I wanted to get that char. I wanted to get that crispy char that charcoal can bring to a burger. So I think you have to decide, you know, like what kind of element do you want to bring? Like, you know, do you want to fill it full of that, like Dick Jeremy, and full of juice and full of flavor by trying to infuse as much of that as you can in a smaller unit?
Yeah, his burger is very, it's crispy on the outside, but it's very juicy, you know.
It's just, it melts almost. And then Matt, you know, you came in with big flavors with your jam and the the mustard that's you know, you put on there. But, you know, cooking it on a flat top, cooking it on that diner style flat top, you're gonna get that flavor's really not going anywhere. It's rolling around there, and you know, similar to what Jeremy was doing with the cast iron. That smash burger style. You can't do the smash burger style on a grill, grill or a Weber kettle charcoal grill, anything with grates on it.
You had to preform your patties and put them right on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And going back to the last episode, you know, when I was forming that patty, we had a ball with the ground chuck. I tore it apart.
You did about 6 ounce patties is what you had.
Right. I tore it apart and I put the blue cheese and the gorgonzola crumbles in there, folded it back on top of itself lightly. And then I smashed it on the plate and just kind of formed the edges around. Like you were talking about.
Your burger was huge. It was like as big as a hand because you knew it was going to shrink up to be the size of a regular bun.
Yeah, his looked like a 45 vinyl.
I'm not sure what that is. What year is that from?
That's a long time ago.
But no, it was probably, I would say,
you had trouble
4 inches across.
You had trouble getting it on a car. So big, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like I had to be really gentle placing it on because I made it thin. It was less than a half inch, and right at a half inch, and but getting that whole piece onto the grill, I had to be careful with it.
So another thing to note is all four of us toasted our buns.
We did.
Yeah. If you're not toasting your bun, like, no joke, there is a special place in hell for you. That's just
it makes such a difference. Not one for flavor, but two for the integrity of the burger.
Yeah, a better integrity. It has a little bit of Christmas to it. It'd be like if you're going to have toast in the morning, you're like, no, I'll just grab some bread out of the bag. I'm not going to toast it. Like,
yeah, like, but going maybe too, like toasting the bun, going with what Matt did with the lettuce, it helps create kind of a barrier so that your burger doesn't get soggy.
So your bun doesn't get soggy from the burger.
Now, it's not foolproof. Not only
that, when you're adding condiments to it, if your bun is not toasted, that condiment is just getting soaked up into the bread. But when you toast it, it creates that wall, and then you put that condiment on there, and you're really getting a good layer.
Oh, yeah. I did Duke's flavor on the top and bottom bun, both. Like, I'm a big mayo fan.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Did you toast it with the mayo, or did you toast it with butter?
I toasted it with bacon grease.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right on the flat top where we had been cooking bacon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You damn
so
straight.
There was enough grease on there where I didn't need to add any butter. But if there wasn't, I would have done butter.
Yeah. So if nobody, you know, if anybody listening doesn't know how to toast your buns, toast your buns. That sounds really fancy. You know, just a thin layer. Like, we get the Land O'Lakes whipped butter. It just spreads easy. Spread a thin layer over your butt, over your bun.
Over your butts.
Over your bun. You can use mayonnaise as well, and you can use bacon grease. Like, if you've already got grease down from where you've been cooking, and it's wet enough to create that browning, then just slap your buns on the flat side down, and, you know, check them, and once they're nice and grilled, they're perfect.
So I didn't get to watch you guys. Jeremy, you've mentioned it already, but let's talk about the cooking process of a burger.
It was like an episode of Chopped happening out there on the deck. We were
like running around looking for utensils.
On your left.
I forgot my cheese. Like, normally I would put the cheese right on the bun and then cover it up, or right on the burger patty, and then cover it up and let it get good and melty while it's still in the cooker. Completely forgot about it until I was pulling it off.
And then people were stealing spatulas and burger presses from each
other. They got one spatula in this whole Reload headquarters here between four people.
You want to know why they're all packed up with all of our competition barbecue sauce?
Oh, no.
No, but, and then we've got a warped, melted Reload bottle where it got a little too close to the camshaft flat top. So, you know, a few casualties, but, I mean, it panned out.
So, a burger patty, whether you smash it, whether you preform it, one flip, are we all consistent on that?
If you're doing smash burgers, one flip. That's it.
Yeah.
Because that's all, because you're cooking it so fast. It's a minute and a half or so per side.
There's no reason to
flip back and forth. It doesn't even make any sense. You know, you smash it, like I smash it right into my grease, seasoned it, let it cook for a minute and a half, flipped it, threw a slice of cheese on, another minute and a half or so, and it was done. Take it off.
Yeah.
Simple. You were the only one who didn't smash your burger, and you flipped only once also?
Only anytime I'm doing a burger, because if you make a patty, if you make a burger that's the patty itself is thicker than a half, you know, 3/4 inch, then you are going to have you're going to need to do multiple flips on that. If you have
a big pub style burger where it's getting close to an inch thick, you need a few flips for consistent heat, unless you're like putting it in the oven to finish or something.
Right. Because you're going to get,
you'll just char that outside.
The outside is going to get super dry.
Yeah.
Yep.
But for me, like, who wants that? My opinion, like, who wants like that, a burger that's an inch or more thick? Cause if you start out at an inch, when it starts shrinking, it's going to plump up thicker than that.
Now, so I will say, there's a place in Chattanooga I need to take you guys to sometime when you come into town.
Yeah.
It's called Main Street Meats, and it's a butcher shop that has a cafe attached to it.
All right.
And so what they do is they take their prime grade beef and they grind it in-house and then make burgers out of it. Mm. And it's all done right there next to the grill. So what you can do is you can actually order a burger medium rare like you would a steak, and feel good about it. You don't have to worry about, you know, what grinder it's been and stuff like that. And so for that one, it's a huge thick burger that they're treating like a steak. They're just really putting a hard sear on both sides of it and then serving.
How thick are we talking?
I mean, it's almost an inch. Wow. Almost an inch.
Like, that is a whole style of burger, and done right like that, that sounds incredible.
Medium rare. Medium rare.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, I gotta ask you guys, so like, for your opinions, what's the ideal ideal temperature for a good burger, you know, medium well?
So with ground meat, you cook it a little bit further than you would, like, you know, a steak or something. So I would say about 140 would be great. 135 to 140 is
medium.
Perfect. Yeah. Well, with a burger terms, that would be like medium rare for a burger.
Okay.
So you go to a restaurant and they say, how would you like your burger cooked? Medium rare? Because most of the times they do it more than what you...
So it's a little more, I'd say medium rare and expect medium, but hardly ever do I order a burger at a restaurant because it's, we all make great burgers today, but they're so easy to screw up.
Yeah.
So 140 internal temperature.
See, if I'm getting something out, I'm getting it well done. Just because I don't know where that beef has been. And I'm normally not a well done guy, mm-hmm. except on burgers.
You get steak sauce with that.
But if you're cooking it out.
Yeah. Heavy condiments. And that's why I don't normally get a burger out.
But let's say at home. Because we're trying to achieve an actual cooked burger. What one, you say a
maybe 150, 155.
Yeah.
So
not quite
out
well
or
done.
At home? At home, you would do 155.
Depending on 140? Where the burger came
I'd
from.
About 140, yeah. Mm-hmm.
How your burger came out, Stacey?
Mine was pink. Well, I mean, it was red.
It wasn't that bad.
Mine was medium rare.
It was, to me, yours was like a good mead.
Mm-hmm. Yours was just a little bit thicker than mine.
Yeah. That's how, if I'm getting a burger, that's how I like to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Is like that, but
because hers is a little bit thicker. Like mine are so thin that you really don't have a temperature.
You don't need.
You can't put a temperature probe.
But
no,
but you don't need it to be like that because then you're eating the raw freaking patty. Yours are so thin. Mm-hmm. A well done burger is still gonna fall apart in your mouth.
Yeah,
I like how like showing the patties like I cooked up. This one.
Check out this thing. I had
or like
me.
Like anybody listening could actually see it.
But, yeah. Take a look, everyone.
But I mean, for me, it's a nice patty. For me, it's medium, and it's medium well. That's kind of what I try to go for.
Yeah.
Anytime you're at a restaurant and you try to order a burger and you say, hey, I want medium rare, you're going to get it one step up. Then rarely does
a
restaurant
I don't eat a steak out,
ever
though.
Get it right.
I can't you remember the last time rare. I had a burger at a restaurant.
Have you ever had a fast food burger?
I've never in my life had any fast food burger. I've never had McDonald's. I've never had one of those Whoppers. I've never had any of
one of those Whoppers.
Whatever they're called. I've never had one.
Joking right now for sure, right?
Nope, completely serious.
You've never had a Big Mac?
I've never had a Big Mac in my life.
Or a double cheeseburger from McDonald's? What do you
growing
eat
up,
at 10
always,
o'clock at night when
I always
you're hungry?
Went to like the fried chicken stuff. And then seeing those burgers like... They just look gross.
I think our listeners right now, like, if you think that we should get some fast food burgers for Jeremy to taste.
Burger off.
Yeah, I'm good.
We could do bracket style. So we'll get Crystal's, Wendy's.
What's our favorite fast food burgers?
Let's
just go through that
real
quick.
If I had to have a burger, it's like you have to eat a fast food burger, it's going to be Hardee's.
Okay.
That's mine.
I think I would say the Whopper. A Burger King burger.
The impossible one?
Definitely not.
Dude, Whoppers are such bullshit.
But it's
quote unquote flame broiled.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know how it works. I've never worked at Burger King.
They have.
Maybe it is.
No, I really want to hear this. Like, if our listeners think we should do bracket style fast food burgers and.
You guys
Jeremy,
know
you're
you guys,
gonna taste them.
I'm not, but you guys, you know, you're talking about some frozen patties that came from who knows where that are thrown on some flat top that some guy hasn't cleaned in 2 years
with
buns that were made 2 months ago with tons of preservatives in.
Exactly. Welcome to America.
Let's just talk about the Crystal Burger. Which how is that even a burger?
It's not a burger.
Isn't it like, but mostly cardboard?
Regardless,
I don't even know.
It's at 3 a.m. when Crystal's like
you're
one of the only
straight.
Things open. Or I'm eating Crystal Burgers.
Yeah,
you know?
like if you're drunk, like anything tastes good, but it doesn't mean it actually tastes good.
Bro,
like,
Chacho, that 1 to 3 a.m. Crystal Burg, I mean, that sets you right the
but
next
it's
day.
It's not even a burger.
Crystal Burg has saved my life many a time.
Like, that
guys.
Is not ground beef. Like, that is like a steak.
Well,
you're going to regret
it.
Next
I don't give
morning.
A shit what it is. It's put something in my belly.
So
steak
let's ignore the. No, never. And so let's ignore the whole last episode
how can
where we're talking about
you don't
quality
like it if you've
of,
never tried any of it.
These look. Where do those
because
ingredients come from?
It's a facility that has a drive-through.
This is like
what are
this
the,
is like the revelation of the podcast. I feel like is
so,
that you've
so,
never
so
tried.
Would you rather have a Steak and Shake burger over any of these burgers?
Oh, Steak
no,
and Shake
but
is
I'm
good.
Not, exactly. I'm not making a burger at 3 a.m.
Yeah, I'm going.
Wait,
I'll,
Steak and
well,
Shake.
Listen,
wait,
man.
Wait,
did you say
why
Steak
not?
And Shake?
Yeah, Steak and
Shake is good.
So you guys ever had Shake Shack?
I haven't. I've had Steak and Shake.
Shake Shack is not fast food, though.
But where is that?
I would say Shake. It's like Steak and Shake and Five Guys. Or like
Five Guys is not fast
have.
Food. Of course, I have Five Guys.
Five Guys doesn't have a drive-thru. Anything with a drive-thru, he will not eat.
Steak and Shake has a drive-thru.
No, I know Steak and Shake does. Five Guys.
But you've never had Steak and Shake.
A
Frisco melt from Steak and Shake
no.
is so good.
Yeah.
What's a Frisco melt?
It's like a Texas toast.
Texas
it's like
toast.
Toasted. And then it's got, it's just a burger with like Swiss cheese and Thousand Island dressing. No, that's
I like
it.
Their
and
garlic
it even follows your number of toppings rule.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
he was ready to get after you here for a second, but
no, I just don't care. Like, it just,
I am so amazed.
No,
but you eat like chicken nuggets.
It's like, hey, I wonder what that dog food over there tastes like. You know what? We should have a dog food bracket, guys. You know what? Like, no. It's totally safe. Like, it's frozen from some plant out in the middle of nowhere, and some drug addict probably threw it together between getting high in the bathroom.
So I will say, one time we went to Steak and Shake,
and then you got diarrhea afterwards.
Well, okay, that's just you got to deal with that.
Part of it.
Like, I mean, Crystal, I don't know if I've ever had Crystal without consequences. Dude, you know, but
have you ever noticed that, like, when you eat Crystal, like, when it comes out, it smells like Crystal?
Hey, okay.
No, it does not smell like Crystal. Hey.
You know how the Crystal farts? I mean, I'm just like,
yeah.
I think that would just mean it smells really bad on the way
in. It's the onions, man. The onions they use, they're pungent.
And the soggy buns. But anyway, so one time on Black Friday, like, there's nothing open except Steak and Shake, right? Yep. And so I got a Frisco melt, and I don't know if they use rancid butter. I mean, this was seriously like 2 or 3 in the morning. Or I don't know if it was rancid butter or if, like, the flat top was just gross where it hadn't been cleaned in years, according to Jeremy. But later that night, we were unboxing a TV that we had gotten after we had eaten it. I ate it just fine, no issues. But unboxing this TV from Black Friday, and I was like, "What smells like ass?" And it was my hand from where I had been holding the burger. Yeah,
no.
I was like, "Julie, smell this. What does it smell like?" She's like, "Smells like ass."
So what happened?
I was Jeremy's good.
Like,
you
were good. Yeah,
iron like, gullet over here.
Yeah, it's like you get used to it. Your immune system gets used to it.
You just made it. Like,
that's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Jeremy, just you would eat it.
And listen, that's not the butter. You probably had some rancid ass meat.
Yeah, down for the count for several days if you had any of that stuff.
We just proved his point.
Yeah, that doesn't help you at all.
You didn't talk Jeremy into doing it at all.
But so yeah, you're right. It probably is gross, but it's also delicious sometimes.
Not compared to any of this. Like, no, everything that was good in front of us was like any, better than any restaurant you would
get. Like, I just told you I can make this burger in like 15 minutes. Like, how is that any faster than getting in your car and going to the store and coming back?
Right.
Like,
but that doesn't include the 6 hours for the bun.
You don't have buns every time. Like, they're not using those buns.
But yeah,
like,
you're taking fast food out of context. Like I'm not going to...
There is no context where it's good.
I'm not going to go.
Leave the house to go get it. He's already passed.
I'm not going to go get dinner at Mickey D's or something. Like, I'm on the road. I'm working. I need a quick meal. That's my fast food experience.
Do I
ever prefer... Me and my brother, this is our saying every time we go to lunch together, I'm like, hey, what do you want? He goes, it all sucks ass. Yeah. it's more like fuel than it is anything else.
So, like, when I go to fast food, I just get fried chicken. I don't care where we go, they all have fried chicken. It's all fried and it's all chicken.
The burgers at McDonald's are way better than the chicken.
The new buttermilk chicken,
you like Mickey D's burgers?
A double cheese. So, for us, McDonald's is the fallback if I try a new recipe and it's terrible. Or, like, if I screw it up.
Is it close?
Yeah, it's right down the street from our house.
I am...
And an Oreo McFlurry or an apple pie.
Okay. Mm. Dessert's on point.
What?
Never.
Never had a what?
An apple pie from McDonald's. You told me I wasn't missing out, so I never got one.
My dad likes them, and
You're not missing out.
No.
With vanilla ice cream?
Never tried them. Warm.
You need a White Law apple pie.
We need a podcast field trip just to McDonald's.
We'll do it. Everything on the menu.
Yeah. No, this chick likes the Filet-O-Fish.
I usually get the Filet-O-Fish.
And it tastes... That's no
bueno. No, it's the Filet-O-Fish for me.
Yeah.
If you're going to McDonald's...
I've also never had a Filet-O-Fish before.
It's delicious.
McRib? What about McRib?
No. Hey, look at me.
Oh, my goodness.
Neither.
I won't.
Don't.
I have no desire to. But none of this...
It will.
My hands smell like ass. Jeremy's... my mind.
I have not sold him on it.
Poor job.
Jeremy's feelings will be incredibly crushed if he ever tasted a Filet-O-Fish or McRib. It would be like a total insult to the bouginess of his... culinary
just the bun lifestyle. He wouldn't even get to the meat, he'd just eat the bun and be like,
I'd probably smell it and be like, no, I'm good.
Yeah, just turn his nose up.
I'm good.
Alright, so we gotta get back on track here. One flip I think,
no press,
one flip, no, whether you're making a patty or unless it's over a half inch, one flip. That's it.
You do the initial smash, but you don't press to get, because that'll just make the juices squirt out.
The old, guy standing by the grill flipping burgers constantly and pressing down and pressing all the juices out of them.
Getting all
so that they're nice and dry on the inside. Don't do that. Don't be that guy.
No. Hell no,
That's
man.
Different than a smash burger, too, right?
We're talking about just like, yeah, just...
They're sitting on the grill and people are like, smash.
Yeah, just get rid of all that goodness.
A majority of people have got their gas grill that they're cooking on. Now, we don't want to judge. We're not judging them, okay? We have not graduated. We all have cooked on a gas grill, you know, starting our barbecue journeys, okay? But most people are going to be cooking on a gas grill, and they're not going to be smashing these burgers. A lot of people, my mom included, goes and buys damn preformed patties.
She goes to Costco and gets the patties that are already formed. And Joel has actually gone over there and molded them back together.
Yeah, I mushed them all up.
Okay, so I've seen those before. I think they grind that in-house, but they pulverize that meat. I mean, it is emulsified to the... nth degree.
They're and those, thick.
Those patties they make are like a pound a piece.
Yes.
Like,
they're huge.
Who can eat that? Like,
they're huge.
So yeah. I will say on the grilled, you know, propane grill, you can still put a cast iron on that and do smash burgers on mm-hmm. it.
Sure.
I mean, that's not all that there different from so the Sidekick, right?
No, not at all.
That's how you can go ahead and cut the corners on that one is just get you a cast iron and cook it right over the flame on the grill.
If you have good ventilation inside, you can do it on your stovetop. I mean, it's going to be smoky.
Many rainy days, we've cooked burgers in here.
Oh, yeah, when it's really cold out. Yeah. Or like today actually was windy, so no, that kind of played an element.
I don't care about the cold because I'm a man.
Oh, and that's
no
right.
man
that's right.
cares about the elements.
I think I was the only one not wearing a jacket out there, if that was correct. You kind of cuddling up over
well,
there.
I thought you were having a seizure earlier.
Oh, okay.
But it was quite windy out there. You know, we had the Sidekick going with the open flame.
I like to be comfortable, Jeremy.
I wasn't talking.
Sorry, honey. I love you.
We told you we're feminists. We'll talk over you.
But yeah, we had the open flame on the Sidekick cooking on the Camp Chef pellet grill. We had the Camp Chef flat top going. And a few times, you know, the wind was kind of getting to it and kind of messing with our flames a little bit. But, you know, even if you wanted to pull it inside and do it on a cast iron, you know, same way. You could do it the same way. You just want it nice and hot.
Just turn the smoke alarms off. First,
yeah,
because that's what we always do is set the smoke alarms.
We don't even
off.
Have smoke alarms in our house.
Nice.
You're such a rebel. You're so savage. You're so savage.
I know.
The so rounding this out, you know, and I guess bringing it all back around, I don't really feel like, and you all correct me if you're wrong. Like I don't feel like you can. It's really hard to screw this up.
No, it's really easy to screw it up.
I feel like
there's a lot of ways to also do it right.
Well, that's what I was going. As long as you, I think if you have, as long as you have the base stuff that we've talked about,
the burger basics,
and you do the basic stuff, mm-hmm. everything else, the only way you're really going to screw it up is if you put stuff on it or stuff in it that or too much of it or too less of it that you don't like.
Or your heat's way too high.
Do what?
Or your heat's way too high, and you're burning the outside of the burger before the inside could get done.
Yes.
Well, like, my burger is an extremely high heat, but it's so thin that it's fine, whereas if you're a little thicker, that you definitely have to watch out for that.
Yeah.
So what I have to say is just cliff notes of everything we've talked about the past two podcasts. Burger basics. Ground chuck, 80-20.
Mm-hmm.
Don't handle your meat very much. Mm-hmm. The least amount possible. Put your thumbprint in the center.
My dad told me that when I was a young man.
Season the outside only, not the inside. Don't go mixing it through your meat and only flip it once. That would be, to me, rounding out the burger basics. Is there anything that you guys would add?
If you do all of those things, you're on a really good track to make some great burgers.
Yeah. You know, because if you do like I did back in the day and tried to mix the seasoning into the burger, you're basically making a sausage patty.
Mm-hmm. And it's dense.
It has a little pop when you bite it. It's going to taste good, but you can't replicate the texture that you get from the stuff that we've talked about
today.
A
nice, tender, soft patty that your teeth just slide right through.
Because at that point, you can't screw up the temperature, in my opinion. Whether it's well done, mm-hmm. medium rare, you're going to get the same texture bite out of it.
So that was the biggest thing I learned today was handle the beef as little as possible. So usually I would knead it together and almost emulsify it ahead of time. And I think that's part
make
of what...
patty.
Yeah, patty it
I've
out.
I've seen people
and
do that.
And that's what causes it to kind of shrink up and turn into a ball on the grill.
Yeah. Right?
Like, if you look at any of our patties when we pulled them off, you would still see, like, the grind running through it.
Yeah.
You know, you
the
still
texture
find
of the
pattern.
Beef.
Yeah, you know, it's not, like, one emulsified
and it's not uniform.
Yeah.
It's kind of over. It's kind of like when we made those, or you made those tortillas.
Mm-hmm.
None of them were the same.
Yeah, they're individual.
You know, because it's...
You get the crispy edges on the edge of the patty that way, too.
Yeah.
So good.
And another thing to add, too, is, you know, any of our seasonings really work for a great tasty burger.
Yeah, action on a burger. Yeah. I would have never thought of that, but it was super good.
Which you used that on yours, right?
Yeah, double action was on my burger.
And then you used Fully Loaded, Joel.
Yep.
And then Matt and I both used Magnum.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we've done high caliber burgers before that are just so ridiculous.
And I will say, Jeremy, that both of y'all, like the Magnum in the burger, mm-hmm. which is something that we haven't played around with a lot.
Mm-hmm. It was flavorful.
So good.
Because Jeremy's didn't have all the, like, all of our burgers were, like, amazingly flavorful. But we really tasted
mine
the
was
burger
a little
meat
bit
on
Jeremy's. Right? A little bit of Jeremy's.
Of course,
Jeremy.
I'm going to go to visit you tonight. So. But his, you could add, the beef shined.
Yeah.
The beef shined through, and that was flavorful. And, mm-hmm. you know,
and that's
I'm
the
excited
point.
About that.
That's the whole point of that burger is that it's just a burger.
And mm-hmm. I have to reiterate to you that 9 times out of 10, when we make burgers at our house, mm-hmm. that's how I eat a burger.
Yeah.
No condiments.
Yeah.
No toppings. I get the meat and the cheese, and I let the flavor that shine through. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just how I like to eat.
And like we talked earlier in the first episode about those custom blends of short rib and this or that, or if you even have a Wagyu or something like that. You don't want all those toppings on there. You know, mm-hmm. that's really mm-hmm. when you want a very basic burger. Let that meat really shine and speak for itself.
And I think if you're new to making burgers too, I think if you're somebody that's like, I want to make a good burger, I want people to come over to my house and go, damn, you know, so-and-so's burger is freaking awesome. I want him mm-hmm. making my burgers or her making my burgers. I think that's how you have to eat your burger up front.
No more trips to the frozen section getting the box of Bubba Burgers. Don't do that.
Oh, man.
Don't do it.
Bachelor days.
I've also never had one of those.
I don't think I've ever had one of those.
I've never had one of
those. You don't want one of those.
But, you know, you go to a company picnic and they pull out those pre-made, you know, patties. And okay, let's just not do that, guys.
The company I work for doesn't do that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, don't do that. We are giving you the tools right now. Like, this is how you're going to do it. It is not hard. Go out and make you the best damn burger you've ever eaten.
I think if you
eat.
Follow Jeremy's initial method of let's start classic, let's be traditional,
mm-hmm.
You need to let your protein shine through first. Mm-hmm. So you know...
A slice of tomato, a couple pickles. I mean, you're...
Well, I'm not even... I don't even know about that.
You should never put a slice of tomato on a burger.
What?
Or on anything. Tomato is just disgusting in general.
No. If you have an heirloom tomato in season... Possibly a slice, but no, you're not supposed to eat the skin of a tomato, and you're not supposed to eat the seeds of a tomato.
Well,
who
according
says?
To who?
Everyone.
According to God?
The
what's
skin
up?
Is yes. The best
you know, he
part.
Made that jazz. I'm going to eat it.
So if you're like making an apple pie, would you leave the skin in the cores in? It's also
that's
a fruit.
Apple pie.
That,
oh, I love the
wait
skin
a second,
of tomato.
Wait a second. Tomatoes are vegetables, not fruit.
No, they're a fruit.
No, they're
fruit.
Are
they?
They grow on a tree. Or on a vine. There is tomato trees. Just saying.
Yeah. No, tomatoes are 100% fruit.
Is it that it's a berry? I feel like we're off the rails.
It has the seeds inside of it. Anything that is a receptacle of its own seeds is a fruit, not a vegetable.
Okay.
I'm trying to make a point.
Make your point. Slam that fist down.
What I'm trying to make the point of is that if you want your burgers to be badass, don't put shit on them until you know that whatever seasoning or method you're cooking tastes good with just the basics, with bacon, cheese, or just cheese and the protein.
And reload.
And that's it.
So there's a story that goes along with that I heard in researching burger stuff that fits along with that very well.
Yeah.
When Pablo Picasso first really hit it off big, you know, he has all these crazy paintings and stuff. So people were trying to copy him, and they were throwing paint on canvases and doing all sort of crazy crap and stuff. And they had no experience. And he said, no, you can't do that. First, you have to learn the basic brush strokes, the colors, the canvases you use, all the basics before you can go to those next levels of making better stuff. And that's really what making your basic burger is about.
Yeah.
Learn the basics and then move on from there. Mm-hmm. And then you'll understand why all those flavors work together really well and why you can make that better burger.
Amen to that. Because once you get the right canvas, the right foundation for a burger, the sky's the limit.
Yeah.
You can go anywhere with it because you know this patty tastes freaking phenomenal. And I'm going to pair whatever else on top of it accordingly.
To take it to whatever theme you want. I mean,
yeah. Remember that that Chuck Norris burger we had?
Yeah.
Did it kick you in the face?
It freaking did. I about said the other word.
It was like, yes, it kicked you in the face.
It was phenomenal. Well, we'll get there. So, all right. Anything else to add, guys, on burgers? I think we freaking...
Oh, let's wrap it. This has been fun.
It's been a lot.
I like this as something different.
I like the proponent of food being added to the podcast because that was pretty awesome.
I was starving.
we just jumped right into episode two. We're like, we are ready to eat. We had freaking four pieces of burgers in front of us. And I thought we would eat it all, and then here we always still have all this leftover in front of us. But
well, that's because we're jibber jabber.
I thought we were going to talk about it and then break and eat the burger, so I was kind of disappointed we didn't do that. But
we'll let him down again.
I know we're constantly letting Jeremy down. It's weighing on my heart.
The world I live in.
Not really. So guys, we love y'all. Thank you all for listening to this. I hope this brought some enlightenment to your burger making skills. Be on the lookout because a lot of this jazz is going to be put on our website at reloadrub.com. If you want to save some change on that, use coupon code ThatReloadLife. You can get hooked up with some of all of our rubs to up your burger game and have some great food. So we love you guys. As I always say, love hard, live well, and always...
Laugh often.
Reload.
Jeremy throwing the wrench. We love you guys. See you.